I'm Maria Sofia Roderick here for AirMaria.com. We're in the State Capitol building in Hartford, Connecticut. And we're here for the SB 899 vote to try and show our support for religious freedom in view of that bill being voted on and hopefully get some amendments for that. We have here Peter Wolfgang, who is spearheading with the Family Institute of Connecticut a demonstration of support for religious liberty. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good, Frau Roderick. We have, to my surprise, because it was less than 24 hours notice, we have about 60 or 70 Family Institute activists here wearing the religious liberty sticker. They have our fact sheets, and they're handing out our fact sheets and lobbying the senators as they walk to and fro for a religious liberty amendment to be attached to SB 899, the gay marriage bill. So I'm very happy to see this great turnout on essentially a moment's notice.
Now, is that a lot of people for this building here?
I think it is, considering the dynamics of it. I mean, it was less than 24 hours notice. This bill is, one way or another, this bill, unfortunately, is going to pass. Okay. The real fight is over amending this bill. And, I mean, here we are after the Kerrigan ruling. I mean, the court has undemocratically imposed same-sex marriage on Connecticut. But everyone here, all our people, are still very angry, and they're fighting, and they're fighting mad, and they're right. They should be fighting mad.
Yeah, right. And they were so mad they had a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails coming in, right? How many of those came in? Do you know?
20,000. 20,000 phone calls. The legislature has just been buried with them for about a week now. Beginning on Thursday, Family Institute ran full-page ads Thursday, Friday, and then with the help of the Knights of Columbus on Sunday, we co-sponsored an ad. And then the Knights of Columbus ran their own ad on Monday. So you're talking 4 days in the space of a week of full-page ads. Other organizations, National Organization for Marriage, ran some radio ads. And the cumulative effect of all this is 20,000 phone calls to the legislature. However, we have to remember what legislature it is we're talking about. This is Connecticut, and special interests have such a stranglehold over this building that these guys are that separated from public opinion that it wouldn't be shocking to me, unfortunately, if they thought they could shrug off 20,000 phone calls.
Wow.
So we're trying to bury them with last-minute lobbying, right, display of strength to say, look, you got to pay attention to those 20,000 phone calls.
Right.
There are people behind them who represent those calls.
Right.
We're here.
Right.
You know, those 20,000 calls were not a mirage. And also, I think this is key for our Roderick. It hasn't gotten enough play in the media or here at the Capitol. The Knights of Columbus sponsored a poll done by Marist College, very reputable poll, showing overwhelmingly that the people of Connecticut want this bill amended.
Right.
They want religious liberty protected.
Right.
They don't want gay-related issues taught in the public schools, homosexuality and so forth. And that's not getting enough attention here in this building.
No, no.
I know if UConn or Quinnipiac put out a poll in favor of same-sex marriage, there would be wall-to-wall coverage in our media.
Right.
This Knights of Columbus Marist poll, which I think is a very important poll, it's like it's invisible here.
Wow. Now, you mentioned the Knights of Columbus. They're actually at stake here. Their rights are at stake as far as they have wedding halls and such. They're considered to be like the second-tier providers of religious ceremonies, right? So they'll be affected by these gay marriages, right?
For Roderick, that's very true, and it's not a hypothetical.
Right.
It already happened in British Columbia, north of the border, up in Canada. Lesbian couples sued the Knights of Columbus Hall, wanted to have their wedding reception there. So this is not a hypothetical for the Knights of Columbus. None of the issues that we're mentioning are things we made up. Even our opponents aren't saying, oh, you're alarmists, that will never happen here in Connecticut. When we talk about Catholic charities in Boston being forced out of adoptions, when we talk about the Methodist organization in New Jersey that lost tax-exempt status over its pavilion, and when we talk about the Knights of Columbus being sued in Canada, our opponents never say, oh, that will never happen in Connecticut.
Right.
They say, yes, it will happen, and it should, because you guys are the equivalent of racial bigots. This is discrimination. It's racist, and these things should happen.
Right.
So we're trying to explain to the senators who will listen, if there are any, that, look, even our opponents aren't telling us this is not going to happen. They're just saying that it's a good thing it should happen. So we're trying to prevent that and save whatever we can of religious liberty here in the state of Connecticut.
Sounds like a good cause. And now, in that regard, you think the bill is a good thing or a bad thing for religious liberty?
Well, the bill is a bad thing for religious liberty. It's something we're stuck with. Family Institute doesn't support the bill,
right.
But, you know, we have to be smart about this. And our real goal right now, because we don't have the votes to stop this bill, is simply to amend this bill. That's
right.
That's been the real target of our advocacy and our lobbying on this bill all along,
right.
Because the Kerrigan ruling did come down. And a lot of these legislators, unfortunately, they don't pay as close enough attention to the issue as they should.
Right.
They don't know that in Massachusetts, that decision for gay marriage up there was never codified by the legislature.
Right.
The folks here in Connecticut, unfortunately, the legislators think this is something they have to do.
Right.
And it's certainly not the case that Family Institute thinks, codifying gay marriage is a good idea because then we can come back and tinker with it later.
Right.
We've had some bad history with that sort of strategy in Connecticut. In the early 90s, the pro-life movement thought the same thing in Connecticut. Well, let's just codify Roe v. Wade, and you can come back and tinker with it later. It's now almost 20 years later, and no tinkering with that statute ever happened. So
the legislature only enforces in people's minds what has been passed by the courts.
Right, right. I mean, this is the problem. This is one of the things I meant. Last year when I talked about how the court has usurped the democratic process, because we know the legislature and the governor will not behave as they should as co-equal branches of the Supreme Court and say to the Supreme Court, you know, you have overstepped your authority. We don't accept this decision. We know that they'll kowtow. They'll fall into line. They'll think that the Supreme Court is superior. I just see someone I have to talk to. So
well, thank you very much for your time, Pete. You've been very informative, and you've been very generous with your time this busy time. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Fra Roderick. Thank you, airmaria.com. I'm sure we'll talk again throughout the day.
Good,
thanks a lot.
I'm Maria. This is Fra Roderick for airmaria.com. God bless you.